Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swann.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swann back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeart Radio application. So yesterday's program, I don't know what I did wrong, I guess, because I told you guys I've been working on the backdrop and getting this whole thing squared away and getting the live video back rolling with you, and I think we might have that, but somehow, in betwixt all of that work, I didn't get the interview with Mike Yuva that was supposed to play in hour number two. Instead, you got William Quackenbush again. Double your quack this week. That's okay. It's like taking an extra vitamin, man. Just get you going. Also today, Brian Kelly was announced as the new head coach at LSU. And I had some thoughts on that, obviously, yesterday afternoon. But even more so, just really thinking about the totality of this move for Brian Kelly, what it signifies or what it shows for Notre Dame. I mean, there's honestly a lot to digest from this move. One of the funnier things I thought during the press conference was when the athletic director, I believe it was the athletic director, said that Brian Kelly's resume is unparalleled. And I got the feeling if Nick Saban was listening, he went, huh? I got a feeling if Dabo Swinney was listening, he went, huh? And don't you have to hoist a championship? But again, yesterday when I talked about this, and you could catch the podcast editions of the show, that's all well and good, but when I talked about this yesterday, I kind of made a couple of comparisons. I talked about Oklahoma versus Southern Cal, and I don't think there's any question that as good of a job as the Oklahoma job is, it gets tougher in the SEC. Pac-12, Southern Cal, seemed like a real opportunity there for Lincoln Riley. You're already seeing the maneuvering of players who were committed to Oklahoma now committing to Southern Cal, which furthers the concern that I think a lot of people would have. And again, this is a high school kid, no doubt, but about this transfer portal and its impact. Like, I hope that they at least institute, this would be great. And look, I don't think you have to keep kids from going with their old coach, but I do think it wouldn't be a terrible policy to put in place that if you are a player and you choose to leave your current institution to go join your former head coach, then in that scenario, you have to sit. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, I think that is a situation where the player is making a decision that could have serious ramifications on the balance of power in college football. And I'm not talking about the balance of power at Clemson. I'm not talking about the balance of power at South Carolina, Alabama, Ohio State, doesn't matter. I'm just talking about the way a singular coach could maybe maneuver a roster, creating an unfair advantage. I mean, if we are going to talk about extra bottles of water, as I mentioned yesterday, for players on non-official recruiting visits and the consequences of silly actions like that, something more disconcerting for you as a fan of the sport should be that type of malpractice, that type of movement of players and rosters, which I don't think is good. Now, harder to hold high school players to that standard, right? Harder to hold high school players to that standard, but I think it is something to think about. Now, as for Notre Dame, yesterday, one of the things I talked about was how I feel like that's one of the better jobs in college football. And I think it is a landmark job. I think it is one of the pillars of the sport. But the more I got thinking about it, you know, if you think about recent memory, right, with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and their last national championship coming when Lou Holtz was the head coach back in 1988. And prior to that, it was 11 years in 1977. Yet LSU has won national championships with Nick Saban as their head coach, with Les Miles as their head coach, with Ed Orgeron as their head coach. And could Brian Kelly end up being the fourth consecutive coach at LSU to win a national title? And I and the reason I bring that up is key. I don't believe that as a pillar of college football, LSU football is a bigger or brighter situation than Notre Dame. But I don't think you can deny this 16-year run. Now, I guess 18, but 16 years from 2003 when Nick Saban won his first title there to 07 with Les Miles to then 2019 with Ed Orgeron, the fact that on the college football landscape in what we might deem the modern era, the BCS and now college football playoff era, it's not close. Now, the path to success in Baton Rouge, in my opinion, is significantly more difficult. You could make the argument that Notre Dame, by not having an ACC championship game, has an advantage, or maybe what you're seeing this year is potentially a disadvantage because the Fighting Irish don't have another opportunity to showcase themselves sitting there at 11-1 and sixth in the country. But with that all out there and on the table, I do think that as Notre Dame fans, you have to be slightly concerned about the status of your program when LSU can come in and get a guy who, for all accounts, has really, I mean, it's hard to say he's underperformed. Right? Like it's hard to judge Brian Kelly's tenure harshly. The new college football playoff rankings came out last night. Georgia maintains the number one spot. Michigan moves up to the number two spot. Alabama sitting there at three. Cincinnati at four. Oklahoma State at five. And Notre Dame at six. Just outside of the top six is a two-loss Ohio State team, a two-loss Ole Miss team, a two-loss Baylor team, and then a two-loss Oregon team rounding out the top ten. One of the questions I think you have to ask yourself, though, at this point about that Notre Dame job as well and how quote-unquote good it is what must the thought process be like behind closed doors for Brian Kelly to be sitting there at number six? Right, because if you rewind the show and you think about what I said yesterday, I said maybe this move means Kelly believes you can't win a national championship at Notre Dame. Like, it just can't be done. We can get to the championship game. We can get to the college football playoff. But you're not going to win the biggest ball games at Notre Dame. And that may very well be the case. That was his thought process. But when you leave and you're sitting at number six in the country, you certainly amplify that message. whether or not you mean to or not, you amplify the message that you believe you can't win a national title there because either A, you don't think you're going to get in, or B, you believe that even if you got in this year, you don't have the horses to win the whole thing. And so, with that all on the table, it feels like there's an indirect message if I'm a Notre Dame recruit or if I'm a Notre Dame player or supporter that even when we're sitting at number six with another round of games yet to be played, for example, if Georgia were to just beat the brakes off of the Crimson Tide and give Alabama their second loss of the year, one would make the argument that that moves Notre Dame up to the fifth spot. If Cincinnati were to get upset in their conference championship game, or if Oklahoma State gets upset this weekend, I mean, I could make the argument that Notre Dame could backdoor their way into the college football playoff in a season where their head coach left them. How many teams out there honestly have shots to make the college football playoff and have their coach leave if he believed that he was even still good enough to win the national title? Right? Like if Brian Kelly thought he could win a national title at Notre Dame this year, why wouldn't you finish this one out? I mean, is the LSU job that appealing that you bail on your 18 to 22-year-old student-athletes that you recruited when you are this close to maybe another berth in the college football playoff? And do they have to have some fortuitous bounces and losses go their way? Yes, similarly to Clemson getting into the Atlantic Coast Conference championship game a week ago. You got to have a couple of things happen in front of you. But could you imagine this storyline if it were to play out that Notre Dame gets into the college football playoff without their head coach? And if you were the guy anyway, like if you were the claw as the athletic director mentioned they were looking for at LSU. I think it was like character, leadership, academics, and I don't know, wins. Who knows? I know S was spouse. They put claws on it a little later. But if you imagine a moment or a opportunity where this Notre Dame team gets into the college football playoff, I believe Marcus Freeman's going to be the guy coaching them. And there is buzz that his name has come up more and more as the potential replacement. If you imagine a scenario where that is what happens, can you imagine being Brian Kelly and having to be at LSU? Like, why couldn't you just finish it out? Is it really any worse if you stayed at Notre Dame and you ended up in the college football playoff? Like, if you just waited until Sunday, right? When the rankings come out and you don't make the playoff, then you can bail. Or if you do make the playoffs, you can coach it out. Yeah, there's recruiting at LSU and all that. I understand that you want to get moving on to that point in the process. But what brings you better recruits over the long haul at LSU? What if you were to slide into the college football playoff and win the doggone thing? And I can make an argument that if you stayed at Notre Dame and you won a national championship, if you were Brian Kelly, you could simply look at the fans and say, hey, I did what we came here to do, and now I am going to move on. Congratulations on your national title. Best of luck to you guys. And I think people would still feel backstabbed. I think they'd feel like you turned on them. But I think they'd go, but you know what? He got us to the top. And there are just some people out there that when you get to the top, they say, you know what? I've done everything I can accomplish. I want to try to do something else. They want a bigger and better challenge. But if you are a Notre Dame fan today, 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you are a Notre Dame fan today, how frustrating is it that your head coach, in the midst of a run, possibly to the college football playoff, would pull the parachute out? It honestly doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The only thing I can tell you is that the last three coaches at LSU have won national titles. Obviously, the other one back in 1958, Paul Dietzel, who went on to coach at South Carolina, by the way. All I can tell you is that Brian Kelly must feel like the better opportunity to win and win at a high level and win a national championship is at LSU. And I also wonder if the byproduct of what we could see this year as well, with Notre Dame sitting on the outside with no conference championship game of which to speak. Now, a year ago, they did get beat in a conference championship game and got in the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship, lost to Clemson. But could something like this be a catalyst to Notre Dame deciding, yeah, we're better off in a league? I don't know that it would change for the Fighting Irish. They seem very much set in their ways. But I do believe that from the standpoint of the pecking order of college football, Notre Dame may not have taken a step down, but I think they feel like they took a step down. Your head coach leaves Notre Dame to go coach at another school. Now, look, if he had gone to Toledo, no offense to the Toledo fans out there, but if Brian Kelly had gone to Toledo, okay, then yeah, tough to argue that the Notre Dame job isn't a bit besmirched. But if you... Uh-oh. Cat in the building. But if you think about the LSU job, maybe the bigger storyline out of all of this is the enhancement that possibly it gets simply by the fact that they were able to lure away the head coach of the Fighting Irish in the midst of the Fighting Irish making a run towards the college football playoff. Like, that is the other side of this. Like, if you're an LSU fan today and you're flying your LSU flags and you're excited, you got your Go Tigers gear on, aren't you feeling incredibly empowered that you waltz now? I mean, it's literally like, it would be like going into Alabama and getting Nick Saban. It would be like going into Clemson, perhaps, and getting Dabo Sweeney. Now look, from the standpoint of LSU, they would say, oh, we could get Sweeney in a heartbeat. And I laughed it off when people asked me if Sweeney would take that job. But I'll be honest with you, man. If you can go get Notre Dame's head coach, it's hard-pressed that you can't just about go get whoever you want. I mean, I'm not saying Bill Belichick wasn't available, but Notre Dame's head coach is one of the marquee jobs, at least it was, in college football. Now, again, it may have taken a step back here in the last 24, 48 hours by virtue of LSU snagging the head coach. All that being said, it will be interesting to follow the developments on this front. As far as Notre Dame's job, does Luke Fickell, the head coach at Cincinnati, desire to move to that position? Does Marcus Freeman, who apparently some of the players are really wanting to see keep that job, does he get that opportunity there? According to multiple reports, Brian Kelly would like Freeman and Tommy Reese to make their way down to Baton Rouge. So what a tangled web we weave in the world of college football the first week of the postseason for most teams outside of the teams left in the college football, in the conference championship games and, of course, Army and Navy. Everybody else pretty much done. 803-450-0086. Let us know, has the Notre Dame job taken a step down because of this situation with Brian Kelly heading to Baton Rouge? It is the show that shakes the Southland, rolling along on a Monday afternoon. Stay with us. Back at it on a Wednesday afternoon. Lawton Swan with you again, chatting it up, talking a little college football. Last night, the Clemson Tiger men's basketball team, however, took another loss, this time on the road to Rutgers. Of course, Rutgers knocked Clemson out of the NCAA tournament a year ago. And listen, if you are a Clemson Tiger fan who has become more and more frustrated by this Clemson Tiger men's basketball team, I can't blame you. Honestly, I know you want to see high levels of success. There are some bright spots. I may make the argument that at this point, David Collins, the transfer from South Florida, has been the most impactful Collins I've seen this year, and that includes Dakari and Bo. And you know how everybody felt about Bo Collins on the gridiron. But David Collins is a playmaker. David Collins, I think, might be the best basketball player on Clemson's team, which brings to question seriousness, you know, the serious conversations about the guys that you do have. And what maybe a David Collins, if he had had his whole career at Clemson, could have brought to the table for the Tigers. Nonetheless.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nonetheless, here we sit with this Clemson Tiger basketball team struggling against Power 5 competition. 74-64, the final score. Collins scored 18 points, had 10 rebounds in the contest, picked up two assists and a steal in the game. The Tigers trailed by 8 at the break. Shot better in the second half, ended up trimming the score down. I don't think they ever got it. I don't think they ever got it square. I don't think they ever got it back to even. But Clemson got close, maybe within a point or two at one point along the way. I don't have the stats right here in front of me, but you know, just couldn't close the deal. And then, yeah, P.J. Hall foul out, of course. You know how it is if you're a big man. You try to show a vertical frame. You try to show that you got your hands up, but they're out. They're out, and you get the foul call, and then you're done. And I'm not so sure that Clemson didn't actually play a little bit worse with P.J. on the court, quite frankly. But yeah, I can't say it boggles the mind because you've been a Clemson Tiger basketball fan either as long as I have or longer, most of you. And you understand the frustration that comes from, I think what happens is, and why it is so frustrating is because it is consistently disappointing. And so I think you cross over. You know, we talk about the stages of grief. I think for Clemson Tiger basketball fans, there's just the stages of acceptance. An acceptance that you are not going to be consistently good at this sport. In a league where there is a premium placed on basketball prowess. Now look, I've said it 100 times. If you told Clemson Tiger fans, hey, You guys can continue this run with Dabo Swinney and the football team, but your basketball has got to stink forever. You guys will choose stinkerific basketball, even if that means you can or slash can't argue about it, right? Like, I just say, well, look, it is what it is. You just gotta go with it. But I'm a guy who was North Floor. I'm a guy who was there when Rick Barnes was running the show, when Clemson climbed to number two in the country. And no, I have never seen or been alive for Clemson. Well, I guess I was alive, but I couldn't remember Clemson making it to an Elite Eight. Nobody's seen them make a run to the Final Four. But I think that's what everybody around here just wants, one run at it. One run like South Carolina had a couple of years ago. And that wasn't an overly talented South Carolina team with P.J. Dozier and Sindarius Thornwell. I mean, those were some good basketball players. But they weren't elite basketball players. They were just ballers. Kind of like David Collins. He's just a ball player. And I don't know how you turn over enough rocks to land a couple of ball players at Clemson that come in and make a difference. But again, I still continue to believe that the undersized guard play damages this team every single night they're on the floor. Alamir Dawes and Nick Honor are just too small. The problem is, you can teach free throw shooting. You could teach ball handling. You could teach, sets, inside out game. I mean, you could teach it all. You can't teach height. And it doesn't really translate because you can have great athleticism at 5'10" or 6'2". But a guy that's 6'6" with equal athleticism is still 4 inches bigger and much more difficult to get a shot up around. And I think that's what you run into. I mean, it's one thing if Nick Honor and Alamir Dawes are just on. I mean, putting in major buckets. But Honor, Dawes, and P.J. Hall combined, I think, to score 23 points in the game. I mean, that's you got to be better. You have to be better because you got to count on P.J. Hall giving you 15 tonight. I really think those guys have to total about 35 points a night. 10 apiece for the two guards, 15. 15 for P.J. Hall. And I'd be a little more comfortable with this group. 803-450-0086. We'll hear from Brad Brownell what he had to say after the Tigers lost when we get back here on the show that shakes the South Lane. It is Clemson Sports Talk. Again, on Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. We'd love to have you support us. Put the .com on it, doggone it. Head over to ClemsonSportsTalk.com and subscribe now. Just $63.17 for 1 year of coverage. That's right, I said it, Gamecock Nation. $63.17. We'll hit a quick break. We'll come back with more of the show that shakes the Southland. Keep it locked for more Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Clemson Sports Talk on a Wednesday afternoon. Again, we will run our interview with our good buddy Mike Yuva from Gamecock Central coming up in hour number two. That was recorded yesterday. I don't know how I didn't get in the system. So if we say Tuesday on it, don't worry. It's still a Wednesday. Unlike Brent Venables, whose watch is apparently way off. He was out visiting Jaron Kanak or whatever, however you pronounce his name. Anyway. His watch, you could see, the time said something like 2 o'clock. The tweet came out at, say, I don't know, 1:46 or something. I can't remember the whole. It was just scandalous. People were thinking that Brent Venables was a time traveler or that the photo was old. I mean, it was just one thing after the other with the recruiting conversations or concerns. But anyway, speaking of concerns, following Clemson's basketball loss last night to Rutgers, 74-64, Brad Brownell met with the media. Here's what Coach Brownell had to say.
you know, a little disappointed with the way we played tonight. We've been practicing well the last couple of days. Thought we played well in our last game, and we just didn't perform tonight like we needed to. Certainly give Rutgers credit. I thought their size and physicality really bothered us on both ends at times. Defensively, their length was a problem for us. I thought we our details on offense weren't very good. I thought we settled, especially in the first half, and took a few quick shots, didn't get the ball reversal that we talked about going into the game. And Rutgers did a good job. They did some nice things defensively to just force us to struggle a little bit. I don't think we had very many guys play well. I thought our guys showed really good heart and grit and fight in the second half. When we went to the small lineup, PJ was struggling most of the night. And so we went with Nas at the five, and our guys fought and cut it back to one. But we made some mistakes down the stretch, a couple defensive mistakes, let them Harper get going again. And they pulled away at the end. We just couldn't finish the game.
And again, that's Ron Harper Jr. Of course, his dad played, 15 years in the NBA? And, yeah, I couldn't remember if it got back to one or two. I knew it was a one-possession game, but Clemson trimmed it back to one. As I said earlier, a lot of the good happened in that game with P.J. Hall on the bench. I still don't love the size. That's not going to change. But I think David Collins is a ball player. And I think as he gets better, I think the offense is going to have to run through him. I think he's a better ball player than Hunter Tyson. I think he's the best basketball player on Clemson's team right now. I absolutely believe that. And it's the little things that he does, the backdoor cuts, the ability to create his own shot, his footwork. I mean, there's just a lot of really positive things, especially on the offensive end of the floor, that you see from David Collins. But again, Clemson falls to 5-3 on the season. Brad Brownell and the Clemson Tiger men's basketball team return to action on Saturday at noon on the ACC Network as they open Atlantic Coast Conference play against Miami. Clemson, again, still just a frustrating basketball program. And I don't think many of you thought it would change because Brad Brownell got another year, right? I mean, that's one thing most people just resign themselves to. If Brad Brownell's the head coach, you're going to have some difficulties. And I don't think anybody expects this team to be in the NCAA tournament every year, but I do think people expect this team to be competitive for a shot at the NCAA tournament, and they may very well still be that by the end of the year. I think people would want this team in a 10-year span to make it to the NCAA tournament 5 times, 6 times. I mean, if you're doing that, I'll have you coach the rest of your tenure. If you can get more than half the time that we watch you play, you're in the tournament, that's fantastic. We'll take it. A little bit more from Brad Brownell last night after Clemson's 74-64 loss to Rutgers.
How crucial was it just not having PJ out there, especially going up a team with that kind of length and size?
Yeah, it was disappointing. He didn't play very well tonight. It was one of those tough nights for him. I don't think he competed to get the ball in areas where he could be effective enough. He's played really well most of the year for us. It just wasn't his night. He missed some shots that he made. I thought he bounced back late in the game. I challenged him a couple times, and I thought he bounced back late in the game. But unfortunately, he was in foul trouble, and so we didn't have him down the stretch. But we're obviously a different team when he's not out there. He's, he could be our best player. He's probably our most valuable player. He's the guy that we need out there because of his size, because of what he brings to the table offensively and scoring around the basket. And playing without him for as long as we did was a real challenge for us tonight.
Again, Brad Brownell talking there about P.J. Hall. And I'll say this, too, about Hall. I think David Collins is the best basketball player on this team. P.J. Hall has some skill in the paint, some nice footwork, a little left-handed hook, little right-handed hook. He does a lot of things well for a young basketball player. I think he'll be a very good basketball player at Clemson. But I don't think there's any question. No question at all. That when he has a bad night, and again, the question you heard there was, well, with all that length that Rutgers has, and I think that's a part of it. Like, yes, when you play against teams that have length, you need your length to play well. The problem is, he's still very young. He's still learning the game. And yeah, it's 6'10", 6'11", 240. He's got a great frame for this sport. But I think he's still a year away from really developing into a fantastic option for Clemson. I think he's a good option. But I think the straw that stirs the drink for Clemson offensively has to go through David Collins at this point. And I think Collins is creative enough to get other guys open looks, and that'll help Alamir Dawes and Nick Honor knock down shots and Hunter Tyson. And there was a play in that game too. I'll tell you what, we got to hit a break. We'll come back with more of the show that shakes the Southland. I'll update you on one other play, one other thing I saw last night. Stay with us. Final segment, hour number one of the show that shakes the Southland. Again, our interview with Mike Yuva from yesterday coming up in hour two to kick things off. All right, so back to Clemson hoops real quick. You know, and again, it's one play out of however many plays are made in a basketball game, say hundreds. But when Clemson was trimming that lead down, like I get the feeling Alamir Dawes wants to be like a dog, right? He wants to be the guy. He wants to be the Kingslayer. He wants to be the guy that's going to make the big bucket. And look, you need that. I mean, Terrell McIntyre was that. Like, when it's clutch shots that need to be made, you have to have a guy that's got that kind of attitude. I don't deny that at all. But there was a play late in that game when Clemson's got the lead trim, maybe to one, maybe to three. And Chase Hunter is, I mean, wide open. Wide open. And Dawes takes like a forced jumper in the lane. And I thought to myself, why didn't he just kick that ball out? And then the announcers noticed it too. They were like, man, I don't know why he didn't find Chase Hunter over there in the corner. Like, there are times to be a dog and there are times to be a playmaker. There are times to be a Kingslayer and there are times to get the J-O-B-D-O-N-E, the job done. And to get the job done in that moment is to dish the ball to your teammate. You've got momentum going your way. You're riding like this tide. I think Clemson had gone on like a 14-3 run. You kick the ball to an open teammate in that scenario. I mean, this is like, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but this is something I have tried to teach my son on video games. Like, one of the great unknowns of NBA 2K, or whatever that series is now. Yeah, I think it's NBA 2K. Is that the shot percentage chance of a make goes up if you pass the ball. Yeah, if you can dribble, drive, and get around the guy and shoot a little floater in the lane, there's a percentage chance it goes in. I understand that. You always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So there's a percentage on every shot you do. But in that game, and I believe much in real life, if you kick the ball to an open teammate, the percentage goes up. Uncontested versus contested. And now in an era where, I mean, it's easy to say that Steph Curry has changed the game of basketball, but in an era where the floor is more open and threes are more, not just readily available, but taken. And the three-pointer and the three-point shot is a weapon. Even if the guy's not the most skilled three-point shooter, I still believe the best play there is to kick it to the open man. And maybe Chase Hunter finishes at the basket and gets a foul. Who knows? I mean, maybe he goes old-fashioned three-point play. The Tigers, again, are back on the hardwood. Saturday, noon, ACC Network against Miami. And I'm not, listen, there's way too many games left in the season to say, oh, this is a must win for this Clemson Tiger team. But it does feel like you've got to begin to get some positive vibes as you enter league play. Clemson will follow this matchup with a week off for exams before facing Drake next Saturday at 2 o'clock on the ACC Network. Then they'll take on Miami of Ohio on December the 14th at Little John Coliseum. Actually, that game, I believe, is that game on the road? No, that's the actual Miami. I don't know. No, I'm very confused now. Now I think it might just be entered wrong. Let me double check this for you real quick. Now I feel like a buffoon. By the way, coming up in hour number two, outside of our interview with Mike Yuba, the ACC announced their all ACC team. We mentioned that yesterday. But today the news came out about the all ACC player of the year and rookies of the year. I'll give you the rundown on those numbers coming up here in hour number two in just a few minutes after we interview Mike Yuba. So let me just make sure I'm right on this. It is versus Miami of Ohio, but it's at home. So that's what threw me for. I was like, man, there's no way Clemson's going to face Miami of Ohio on the road. Okay. So there. That has been corrected. It is Miami of Ohio. And Clemson does play them at home. So there you have it. Figured that one out in a hurry. 803-450-0086. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. Be a part of the show anytime, any place, anywhere. Again, we always appreciate you hanging out with us. I don't know why. I guess I'm just out of rhythm. I didn't bring the video feed up here for those of you tuning in watching the show. My bad. I haven't done this in a while. If you haven't hit subscribe yet, go ahead and do it. The easiest way, tinyurl.com/ClemsonSportsTV. Ring the bell so you know when we go live. Come hang out with us anytime on our website. Share our work, comment, text, tweet. Speaking of which, also in hour number two, after we run this interview with Mike Yuba for you, I will also get into some of the messages that you guys have sent us. Now, whether or not that's going to be on video here for you or not is yet to be determined. I'm still working out some things, trying to make this work the way we want it to. I think I'm okay with what we've done today, but I'm not excited about it. So still got a little hitch in the giddy up here or there. Again, hour number two, we will re-rack an interview that we did not run yesterday that we meant to with Mike Yuba. Stay with us for more of the show that shakes the Southland.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
It is hour number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show that shakes the Southland. Mike Yuva, GamecockCentral.com, joins us to talk about Clemson in South Carolina. The Tigers, Mike, got it done, 30-0, 7 straight wins in the series. Nobody covers the Gamecocks better than the folks over at GamecockCentral.com. And Mike Yuva joins the program today to give us the inside scoop onto the outcomes and the happenings after the contest. Mike, first and foremost, I mean, how surprised were you to see Clemson dominate that game the way they did?
I mean, we talked about it before. From a defensive standpoint, I felt that Clemson was still very, very good. Are they as elite as they've been, maybe, say, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago? No. But at the same time, too, it's still a very good defense. A defense that ranks top 10 in a lot of categories, including red zone defense. Well, here's the thing. You didn't have to worry about defense because until the end of the game, South Carolina didn't move the ball inside the 20-yard line. So I think the biggest issue for South Carolina, we knew it going into the game, was whether or not they would be able to find a way to move the football, something that they have been extremely consistent with all season long. And they just had no answer for Clemson. And give Clemson credit, you know, is DJ Uiagalelei on his game? No, but they just ran the ball down USC's throat. And to be honest with you, Swanee, I was a little surprised at times that Clemson got away from their run games in certain situations. At the end of the day, they still won 30-0, but I felt like if they just kept running the football, I mean, they easily could have been 40-50+.
Well, and you know what? That's saying something, Mike, because that Carolina defensive front, I mean, has been fairly solid this entire year, in my opinion.
Yeah, they have. I mean, outside of the Missouri game, I guess you could throw the Georgia game into. I mean, that Georgia team, especially early on in the year, Carolina still adjusting to a new coaching staff, not trying to make excuses, but at the end of the day, it's not like it's Clemson going up against Georgia week one. This is a team that was 2-8 a year ago, new coaching staff, trying to figure out who's going to be the quarterback, for crying out loud. But outside of that Georgia game, Missouri was the only team that really ran the football extremely well against them until, of course, this past weekend with Clemson. So I give credit to Tony Elliott and that offense for being able to find something on film that they were able to exploit. And not just exploit, but they just continued to be able to run the football over and over. And South Carolina just was not physical enough to outside give a lot of credit. I mean, that's something that people don't talk enough about sometimes. Great stock blocking on the outside by the receivers for Clemson. Maybe, you know, statistically, it wasn't one of those games in years past when you have like the Mike Williams numbers or the Justin Ross, but what they were able to do from a blocking standpoint certainly helped spring that running attack that they had this past weekend.
Mike Yuva's on Twitter at Mike_UVA. Okay, Mike, so 7 straight wins in the series for Clemson at this point. What has been the feeling over on Gamecock Central? And I want to get even further on this because, I mean, I think the belief before the game was Carolina had a really good shot at beating this Clemson team that has looked vulnerable at times this season. So how are Gamecock fans taking it now that they've had 72 hours or so to digest it?
I think still in the day, losing to your in-state rival and losing in the manner in which they did is just going to leave a nasty taste for what? 365 days. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I do feel like, though, and I tweeted this out towards the end of the game, Clemson was just a better team. Clemson is just better in general right now. And if you're South Carolina, as much as it probably disgusts you at times to be able to do this, because like I said, I understand, as an outsider, I understand the sports hate. We've talked about this over and over on your program probably the last 2 years, Swanee. The sports hate between the two schools, and to see what Clemson has been able to accomplish over the last 10-plus years, I understand that from a big-picture standpoint. And for them to have won the last 7 meetings, so you haven't been since 2013, heck, I was still in college the last time North Carolina beat Clemson, for crying out loud. With that being said, you do need to take a step back, appreciate where this program is heading. You just got to worry about you. You got to focus on yourself. You're 6-6. You're going to a bowl game, something that a lot of people going into the season didn't figure you were going to be able to do. I mean, shoot, look at Vegas. I believe the win total, I think it was, the over-under was 3.5 wins. You were able to get 6. So progress has certainly been made from a defensive standpoint, special team standpoint in comparison to where it was a year ago. The culture is heading in the right direction. I mean, that's a cliche word to use. But I use the word culture because I truly feel that guys are believing and buying into what Beamer is preaching. And that's a good thing. So at the end of the day, the foundation is strong. Does it take that nasty taste away of losing your in-state rival for a seventh straight time? No. But you got to realize who you are right now and where you're at. And the reality is this. You're not on the same level of Clemson. You're just not. Is the gap closing maybe a little bit? We'll have to wait and see. This was a down year for Clemson in comparison to what their typical standards have been. Do I expect Clemson to be back to being the way they've been the last couple of years? I feel like you can't write them off just because of one bad year. I mean, shoot, go look in the NFL right now. The Patriots, they had an awful season in comparison to their standard the last couple of seasons, right? And look right now, they're at the top of the East. So do not write the Clemson Tigers off by any means. I'm not sure if Clemson fans are, but Gamecock fans certainly shouldn't get ahead of themselves just because of how Clemson was this season.
Mike, I know that Gamecock fans don't like Dabo Swinney. We put it out on our page, our website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com, the video before the game of Dabo Swinney embracing Hunter Beamer, and just the incredible moment that was for a rivalry that has fans that, you know, my parents always taught me hate is a strong word, right? I mean, that's not even really a word we use. I mean, unless you're saying something like, I hate mushrooms, something that you eat, right? So, but from that standpoint, I mean, how was that moment received from South Carolina fans? Because from Clemson fans' side of things, man, it was a really awesome moment, I think.
I think if you're one of those people who live and breathe college football, and you're listening to the press conferences week in and week out, you know the relationship that Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer have. And as it goes all the way back to when both of them were assistant coaches, when Dabo was an assistant at Clemson, and of course Shane was an assistant at South Carolina, they have a great relationship. There's no question about it. Shane actually, last week during his press conference on Tuesday, he actually shared a story of how to go play football at Clemson. And, you know, he told Dabo one day he's going to go play for him and this and that, and he wanted to get some Clemson gear. And, you know, that's the respect that he had. Now, I think the funny thing about it is Oklahoma and Clemson never played in postseason play, but that would have been funny if that had happened back in that time period when Shane was still at Oklahoma, because I don't know if he has that Clemson gear still, but I'm sure Shane would have made him throw it out at that time. So, I mean, like, you know, they have a great respect for each other. The families are close with each other. I think the challenging part is this, because you see that. I don't know if rivalries like this right now, if it's ever going to be to the, you know, think of the infamous fight in Death Valley, right, between the USC players and Clemson just getting at it. You just think of moments like that. I don't know if they'll get to that point on the field. And, I mean, Swanee, you know enough of these players. I mean, I've had conversations with Clemson players over the last couple of days, losing track of it now that it's, you know, Tuesday and the game was on Saturday. But whether it be Clemson players, USC players, former players, they have so much respect for each other. It's just what I think a lot of fans truly understand what it is. They don't really hate each other except for that day.
That's a good point, Mike. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Mike_UVA. And, of course, he works for the folks over at GamecockCentral.com. And if you're a Carolina fan, there is no site better covering your Gamecocks. So, Mike, with that being said, they are bowl eligible, but now, and this has got to be frustrating too for South Carolina fans, and I know Clemson fans Monday were dealing with the rumors about Brent Venables in Oklahoma, some like Bleacher Report with no T tweeted it out, and people jumped all over it. But also now you get Shane Beamer's name back in the mix, and some have said that maybe if he hadn't left, he might have been a shoe-in for this job as kind of a young up-and-coming coach, but look, he's proven himself. You mentioned the Vegas numbers. You know what he's done. I mean, is this a possibility at all that Shane Beamer could be the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners?
I can't see it happening. And the reason being is you look at the situation that South Carolina is currently in right now. I think he truly believes what they're doing here. Now, I say all that. I never say that there's never a possibility. And the reason why is because, well, you know, Oklahoma, some of those boosters have a lot of money. You just never know what could happen one day, right? I mean, right. Someone offers you a lot of money, that can change a lot. So with that all being said, though, I can't see making the move over there. If he was still in Oklahoma, if he hadn't coached South Carolina this year, could I see him being the head coach next season for the Sooners? Absolutely. It just seems like it makes sense, especially especially when you go back and look at the history of what Oklahoma has done with their coaching staff. It has been kind of homegrown in a way. Why I do feel like they will make a phone call to Shane. They will make a phone call to Brent Venables. Does that mean either of those guys are interested in the positions? No. And I think the thing that Clemson fans have grown accustomed to, whether it be Venables, whether it be, you know, Tony Elliott, you look over the last couple of years, just different coaches on their staff, because of the success that they've had, that Clemson has had, naturally these coaches' names are going to get called up. They're going to get pulled up here and there. So I think Clemson fans have become accustomed to it more so than maybe South Carolina. Maybe that's why they're a little bit more on edge and kind of like, wait a minute, here and they're going to take them away. So that's why the Gamecock fans maybe are a little bit more on edge with it. But I just don't think there's anything to really be worried about right now. Shoot, I think Venables probably, there's a higher chance of him taking that position. But at the same time, too, I wouldn't be shocked if he just turns that down and just squashes those rumors. But you just never know, because it just doesn't seem like, and you would know better than me, Swanee, it just doesn't seem like Venables is just going to leave for any job, right, just for the sake of leaving it for any job. And you look at Oklahoma right now, and you look across the world of college football, that's going to be an extremely difficult position, I feel like, regardless of the fact that, okay, it's the Oklahoma name. Well, it's not the same as what it used to be. Now you're joining the SEC. Now you're going up against the Georgias, the Floridas, the Alabamas, the Auburns of the world. It's just not going to be the exact same. I have no idea what this is going to look like with Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. I just think some people naturally assume that's the name. They're going to be able to work the same way they've always have. Maybe they will. But at the same time, I just would be very hesitant to take that position in comparison to years past by playing in the Big 12, because the path is going to be much difficult in comparison to, say, USC, meaning Southern Cal, or, you know, some of these other positions that are out there, because it's just going to be an absolute gauntlet. And if you can get out of the SEC, shoot, you're going to be limping into the college football playoff.
Mike, you've with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. So, Mike, what are the other things that obviously has come up in all of this with Lincoln Riley taking the job at Southern Cal is the transfer portal and its impact on the sport, maybe in a negative way, in that any player really at Oklahoma that wants to leave and relocate to Southern California and play with Lincoln Riley technically could figure that out as long as there's a scholarship available. I mean, is that a problem that we've got to see addressed to a degree, especially if a bunch of guys were to go out west with Lincoln Riley, what that would mean about how coaches could pack rosters around the country?
I'm sure it's, you know, keep an eye on, because I feel like you see it maybe in college basketball a little bit. Maybe it's not as extreme, right? Because you're not going to see like 5, 6, 7 guys go. I mean, 5, 6, 7 guys go for basketball. I mean, that's practically the entire roster right there, right? I mean, 5, 6 players in football, though, would still be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I am interested to see how that plays out. Now, with that being said, because I think with the transfer portal and the way how things have kind of morphed, if you want to call it that way, and then obviously with COVID, the COVID super seniors, some people are calling them, keep this in mind, and I think fans need to remember this. A player can only leave, enter the transfer portal once to leave. They can do that again, though, graduate. So they can leave up to two times, but they can't leave twice as an undergrad. So keep that in mind. If there was a player that had transferred to Oklahoma and they are an undergrad, they cannot go out and join Lincoln Riley like that in Southern Cal. So keep these things in mind, because while it does seem like it is the wild, wild west, which it has become that way, it's a little bit more tame than I think some people realize. Does that mean that controls absolutely everything? Certainly not. But there are some parameters around it that I think some people just actually don't think about. Because it's just like, all right, this guy goes here, you know. And because of that, we're seeing it with South Carolina, right? These guys with Oklahoma that are entering the transfer portal. Absolutely ridiculous. This guy must be joining Beamer, right? Spencer Rattlin, he has connections to Arizona. I truly believe he's going to stay out on the West Coast. And I say all that because you know, Gamecock fans probably have more fun with it than anything else. When you think back to the NIL conversations, right? Oh, Dabo Sweeney said if players got paid, go to the NFL. Well, that's not exactly what he said. Slowly breaks down a little bit. Transfer portal, right? Dabo comes out saying, hey, you know what? We're going to have to make adjustments. That's just how times change. You've got to be able to keep up with the Joneses, right? So I'm very interested Clemson attacks the transfer portal. I think Clemson fans are going to get super excited about it. Maybe they'll be a little disappointed because it's not like a video game where you just need free agent. So I just wanted to add that tidbit in there because I do think it's interesting when you see players leave, right? Oh, this player has a connection with this person, or they're from South Carolina, or coach. Slow down a little bit. But I think we're going to see that with Gamecock fans. We've already seen it with Spencer entering the transfer portal, but I'm sure Clemson fans as well.
Well, there's no doubt that both of these teams at this point could use a little bit of retooling, maybe one more than the other. What are the expectations? I know it's a long way off. You mentioned 365 days until this matchup essentially again between the Tigers and the Gamecocks. Like I'm telling you, Mike, before the game, it was, hey, we got a really good chance. Like Gamecock fans waltzed into Williams-Brice thinking that they were going to snap that winning streak that Clemson's got rolling. I mean, what does it look like a year from now as we head into that game, in your opinion?
Swanee, that's a great question. And the reason why I say that is I think you have to look internally at both programs, right? You look at what happened to Clemson this season. If there's going to be any man in this country that's going to be trying to prove people wrong, it's going to be Dabo Sweeney. And he's going to do everything he can in that coaching staff to sit down and figure out what do we need to do so that we're not in this situation, because we're Clemson. Okay, we're not South Carolina. We're not Florida. We're a team that last 5, 6, 7 years, we expect to be in the college football playoff. And while the ACC, for all the crap that Clemson has got, and maybe at times over the last couple of years with the strength of schedule, the conference is getting better. The conference is getting better. Now, how does that look in the next 4 or 5 years with these super conferences that are forming and conferences are just going to be changed? The Big 12 actually is going to be looking like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe what the Big 12 is going to look like in 5 years. I mean, right. you could just get some chalk and write it down, a pencil. But I say all that because I do think that will Clemson be able to get back to that point? We talked about it maybe a year ago. You have to enjoy this journey. You have to enjoy this run, because what Clemson was doing, it was historic. So will they be able to get back to that point? And I just think it's premature to write them off. So I think it starts more than anything with what Clemson does. As far as Carolina, they still have a lot to do in the offseason because they are losing a lot of talented players. They had players that stepped up this season that I don't think people really expected to. A guy like Jalen Foster, who was a Division II transfer, walk-on. I mean, he's getting buzzed to potentially be on the All-American list in this offseason in terms of season accolades. So I mention all that because there's going to be changes with South Carolina. They're going to have to find perhaps offensive coordinator. We don't know how that's going to all pan out. They're going to probably make some changes to their coaching staff in that regard. Are they going to look towards the portal to try to bring a quarterback in? Because even if you believe that a guy like Luke Doty, Jason Brown, Colton Gauthier can be that guy for you, you need to be able to create some competition in there, because certainly that is a position, as we saw in the game against Clemson, they could have used a little bit extra oomph. But how much of that goes on the offensive coordinator, that go on the offensive line, how much does that go with needing guys, a wide receiver? That's also something you need to factor in. But, you know, the quarterback position, of course, that's the shiny new toy, right? Everyone wants to talk about quarterback. So I'm sure South Carolina will keep their eyes open if something does open up in the transfer at that position.
Mike, buddy, have a great week. Always appreciate you. Again, check him out on Twitter at Mike_UVA, the website GamecockCentral.com. Back at it on a Wednesday. There you go. That was Mike Uva. We typically have Mike on a Tuesday, and that was supposed to be played yesterday on the show. But for whatever reason, your boy didn't get it uploaded into the system, so you didn't get to hear it till today. What you got was a double scoop, or as my dad would say, one of my dad's favorite songs, by the Swinging Medallions. You got a little double shot of that Quackenbush. Yeah, yeah. Double shot of that Quackenbush. You know, that, honestly, that didn't sound too bad. I'm pretty good off the cuff. I should maybe my venture in radio should have been in singing. No? 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. Again, be a part of the program. I promise to get to some of your conversations, and I've got them right here in front of me. Again, you can text us anytime. That's the thing. Somebody texted me the other day and said, man, sorry to bother you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What do you mean, sorry to bother me? Hit me up anytime. I love hearing from you guys. Nick in Georgia says, Swanee, what a day to be a Tiger. Looking back at Clemson's 30-0 victory. Nick, I'm with you, man. I am with you 100%. What a day, what a time. And to think about the South Carolina Gamecocks, again, it has been 8 years. I said this yesterday. I don't know if it sticks. This is the longest amount of time in the history of the rivalry that either team has gone without winning a game. 8 years. And I just don't see – I mean, the thing about it for South Carolina, even if you believe that Shane Beamer is going to improve that program, and even if you buy into Clemson falling off, to imagine that South Carolina beats Clemson in Death Valley next year, I'm not going to lie, it's hard to imagine. And so the next shot South Carolina probably has legitimately to win a game in this series would be in 2 years, which would push this thing out towards a decade. I mean, that's like kids getting through elementary school never losing to South Carolina, or conversely, on the flip side, never beating Clemson. Next season, as far as scheduling goes, and that's one of the things that I couldn't help but think about every time I saw Brian Kelly today at LSU, is the fact that Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers do face off against Clemson coming up in a couple of years. Now, next season, the Tigers would have gotten Kelly at Notre Dame on the road. Clemson will go to Notre Dame. They'll open for their first non-conference matchup will be against Louisiana Tech on the 17th of September. They'll face Furman on October the 8th at Notre Dame on November the 5th, and then they'll host South Carolina on the 26th. In 2023, Clemson gets Wofford on September 2nd, Florida Atlantic on the 16th, and Notre Dame on November the 4th before facing South Carolina on the road on November the 25th, which again would be the next time I think South Carolina's probably got a legitimate chance to make a little run at this. So Clemson over the next two seasons, at Notre Dame in 2022, get the Fighting Irish at home in 2023. Who will be the head coach? Who knows? After that, 2025, we'll skip a year. Clemson gets LSU to open the season. And then in 2026, Clemson is at LSU. And one would assume that Brian Kelly will still be the coach there upon that time and date. Again, you continue to follow these things. One of the things that's also taking place, in my opinion, it's kind of weird. And I think you will agree, it's kind of weird. Is the fact that Florida hiring Billy Napier, like nobody was, listen, nobody's trying to compare Billy Napier to Brian Kelly or to Lincoln Riley. But to think about the fact that Florida filled its job and has essentially been squashed by two other major coaching positions. I mean, that's one of the things that you've got to recognize is that the Florida job was taken and then nobody said a word about it because of these other two high-profile jobs. And now with Notre Dame having an opening and Oklahoma having an opening, there are two major jobs to fill. P.J. Fleck at Minnesota apparently going to stay there. Jeff Traylor at UTSA going to stay there. James Franklin signs a deal. Hugh Freeze with Liberty. Mel Tucker with a 10-year, 95. That, now, that's the crazy steal ball, right? Mel Tucker, 10 years, $95 million, and hasn't really done a whole lot. Yes, this season was a surprise, but was it a $95 million surprise? Dave Clawson signs a deal. Jeff Hafley at Boston College signs a deal. And again, I said yesterday, and I'll continue to say it, like, Hafley's name, I can't imagine, isn't or hasn't been in some of the mouths in South Bend, Indiana. Mark Stoops, who many people thought might be Oklahoma's next guy, ups or re-ups with Kentucky. And again, no signature, no contract can't be broken or bought out. But the further you get away from Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, you know, who begins to emerge? And I do wonder if that Oklahoma job might not fall right back in the hands of their former head coach, Bob Stoops. I mean, is it not possible that Bob Stoops would want to go back? Like, it was a surprise when he left. I mean, it was a real surprise when he left. Could Bob Stoops decide that he wants to get back in it? And maybe this little opportunity that he'll have to coach Oklahoma in their bowl game could be the catalyst of that. I mean, if he has fun and enjoys it, if it ain't broke, why fix it? And if you like it, stick with it. With a quick break, we'll come back. Speaking of bowl matchups, I think it was ESPN that had an interesting one that might pique the interest of all of our listeners here on the show that shakes the Southland. With a quick break, stay with us. We'll come back with that list right after this. Clemson Sports Talk on a Wednesday afternoon. Lawton Swann hanging out with you. Appreciate everybody being a part of the program. So we were talking about bowl games earlier, and again, I was mentioning that Clemson could potentially or has a chance next year to beat South Carolina for an eighth consecutive time. Well, that maybe could be a ninth consecutive time. What do you mean, Swanee? Well, Sporting News projects that Clemson and South Carolina will face off in the Gator Bowl. Now, look, I don't know if the Gator Bowl would be interested in this or not. I tend to think they would be. And the reason that I feel like at this point a bowl game of that magnitude would be interested in Clemson and South Carolina is because of eyeballs and butts in seats. Now, you could say to me, but Swanee, we just saw Clemson wallop the South Carolina Gamecocks. Why would we want to see that again? And I would say, yeah, you're right, and Clemson probably would win this game again, and they may do it by a wide margin. But given the tenor of the conversations around this matchup going into it, would it not at least lend some level of interest from South Carolina fans and Clemson fans if these guys were to somehow match up again? And for South Carolina, wouldn't you want a chance instead of having to wait 365 days to get your next shot at Clemson to go ahead and cash that money in the bank match, so to speak, in a little early? Go ahead and get a chance to hook up with the Tigers in December. I mean, look, it's crazy to imagine that that would be the case. I don't think anybody's denying that fact. But it's not unusual in this college football playoff era that we do see rematches. We could have seen a rematch of Clemson and Notre Dame a year ago in the college football playoff. We've seen rematches and have a chance to see one of Alabama and Georgia this year. you get that game this weekend in the SEC championship, and then who knows, maybe on January 10th you get that game for all the marbles. But if you are a South Carolina fan, would this interest you at all, or are you just disinterested in another chance to take on the Clemson Tigers? I mean, because honestly, if I'm a South Carolina fan, I think I might be at least willing to take my shot here. Who knows? Clemson may have some guys that sit out of the bowl game. You never know. Clemson also projected in the Cheez-It Bowl versus Iowa State on December the 29th. By the way, that Gator Bowl game is a December 31st game down in Jacksonville. So, could the Tigers and the Gamecocks hook it up for a second time this year? And I wonder what would have to happen. Again, we're kind of near the, you know, down the stretch they come. What would have to happen in order for that to change? Like, is it the scenario where if Georgia beats Alabama, there's no chance it happens, but if Alabama beats Georgia, there's a possibility? I mean, I guess it all comes down to the pecking order to a degree of where some of these teams sit.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But again, the sporting news has Clemson and South Carolina lined up to play each other in the Gator Bowl. Now, for South Carolina, that's a huge bowl. That may be the best bowl South Carolina's lined up for. Let's see. I've seen them in the Mayo Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl a couple of times. I've seen them mentioned in the Liberty Bowl. You know, honestly, that opportunity is probably the best one, and just in, if you just sheerly focus on the bowl game, like the venue, to be able to play at the Gator Bowl, it's got to be better than the Tax Slayer Bowl, or excuse me, better than the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl or the Liberty Bowl, I would think. I mean, I still, you know, when I was a kid, the Gator Bowl was an important bowl. Yeah, you wanted to go to the Orange Bowl. Yes, the Sugar, the Rose, the Cotton. I think, and maybe the Fiesta Bowl. I really don't remember when the Fiesta Bowl took off, but I feel like when I was a kid, the Gator Bowl was more significant than the Peach Bowl, which now the Peach Bowl is a part of the Big Six. And I also think the Citrus Bowl was actually bigger than the Peach Bowl, in my opinion. I mean, not anymore. Not now. Not with the college football playoff, the way it's set up. By the way, most people projecting this to be those top two teams, Georgia and Michigan, playing for all the marbles. I do think it comes down to what happens to the Alabama Crimson Tide more than anything else, though. I mean, if Alabama beats Georgia, all bets are off. All of a sudden, Alabama's maybe someone in the catbird seat. And if they were to beat Georgia bad, could they beat them bad enough to eliminate them from the playoff? Some would say no, it's not possible. But is there a what-if scenario out there where Georgia actually holds firm? They're 12-0 for the first time since their national championship season back in 1980. What if they were to go in and just get obliterated, embarrassed, in that SEC championship game? Could that change the thought process around the Bulldogs enough? Some would say, yeah. I don't think I do. Partially because I've seen that group up front. I mean, up close and personal. And I know how good they are up front. Georgia and Alabama face off at 4 o'clock on CBS this Saturday. The ACC championship game is in primetime at 8 o'clock on ABC. It'll be Wake Forest versus Pitt. and for the entire Atlantic Coast Conference. I think everybody's just excited to have a team not named Clemson and or Florida State getting a chance to win the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. I'll tell you what, we got a phone call from my buddy Mark. We'll get out to that when we get back here on a Wednesday edition of The People Show. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Keep it locked. Final segment right around the bend.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Wednesday afternoon, Lawton Swan with you. Good to have a little live video for you earlier in the show, and you know, trying to figure out how to pull that off, man, is tricky still. Clemson's Dabo Swinney was hired back in 2008 as the head coach, if you can believe that. December 1st, 2008, Dabo Swinney and Brent Venables and other coaches out on the road. I did not mention this earlier. It's on our website, though. You can go check it out. Put the .com on it, doggone it, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Andrew Makuba, a young man who had never been to Clemson's campus, who Dabo Swinney had never met outside of doing things virtually, was announced today as the ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year. Makuba becomes the third Clemson player to win the ACC Defensive of the Year award, joining Dexter Lawrence, who won it back in 2016, and Brian Brzee in 2022 defensive tackles. Clemson becomes the first school to ever have back-to-back players earn the honors. And again, let's not forget this Clemson defense, as good as it was without Brian Brzee most of the season. Makuba played in all 12 regular season games for Clemson, including 9 starts, played 523 snaps. He is a native of Zimbabwe, but plays high school football in Austin, Texas at LBJ High School. Makuba became the first true freshman defensive back to start an opener for Clemson, according to records dating back to 1973 when he started against the Georgia Bulldogs back on September the 4th. Will Shipley, by the way, finished second in voting for the Rookie of the Year. That award went to Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback at Miami. Shipley also finished second for the Offensive Rookie of the Year behind Van Dyke, who won that award as well. But, again, congratulations to Andrew Makuba. And, boy, his impact is certainly going to be felt for the next few seasons there in the secondary. You can really see that he is a heck of a football player, and amazing the story and how Clemson ended up landing Makuba. There is no doubt about that. All right, my buddy Mark hits the program. Mark, my man, hope you're doing well. It's been far too long, buddy. Appreciate you checking in. And again, you guys can do just like Mark did. Call us up and leave us a message, and we will do everything we can to work you into the show. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Swan? Real Paisant checking in. Always good after a nice whipping of the Gamecocks. But I really think if we've learned anything about Clemson, and more, you know, generally the ACC, is that teams in the ACC need to stop using Clemson as a barometer for how good your program is. Like Georgia Tech probably felt really good after, you know, how they played us. Maybe Boston College, maybe all these teams felt good. But then when it gets to nitty-gritty and they play into the season and they're getting blown out, you know, maybe these teams need to use their rivals Georgia Tech UGA game is a perfect example as a real barometer of your team. Clemson comes into the season, new quarterback, new running backs, a lot of injuries midway through the season. And we got teams that think they're on the come up because they played well against us. Again, I forgot who said, I think it was Isaiah Simmons who said, if we are your national championship game every year, you need to reevaluate your program. So I think some of these ACC teams need to look in the mirror and not just try to play their best against Clemson, but maybe show up in rivalry weekend. Keep doing your thing, man. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate the phone call, buddy. Yeah, man, always good to hear from you as well. 803-450-0086. So getting into the back half of the program, I was watching the video that we put up and noticed that there was one little hitch in the giddy-up, so the audio wasn't working right. So what we're going to do is re-rack it. We'll get the show up and going for everybody here. And everybody else, man, you'll be good to go. You'll be listening to it on the radio live, and you won't have a clue in the world until now that things went wrong out of the gates for those people who watch the show. 803-450-0086. Again, text line, phone line, always good to have you being a part of the program. We certainly appreciate you hanging out, having a little fun, and talking about your Clemson Tigers. Again, the website, clemsonsportstalk.com. No doubt about that fact that we are continuing to grow it and get more and more interviews with recruits. That's why we want your support, need your support. Helps us with the staff, helps us keep the lights on. Just $63.17. That's right, I said it, Gamecock Nation. $63.17 for you to step in and be a part of it. Again, Clemson basketball losing 74-64. They're back out on the gridiron on Saturday. College football looming. Clemson's bowl opportunities out there. Again, I don't think Brent Venables takes the job as the head coach at Oklahoma. I just don't see it. I also am beginning to wonder whether or not Tony Elliott will take a job or if he'll stick around in Tiger Town. I know some of you won't like that. I've known Tony Elliott for years. I think this year he made chicken salad out of chicken giblets. I mean, they had so many injuries. Dude, they were starting in that final game Will Sweeney, and there were moments in that game where Will Brown and Will Sweeney are flanked out. Yet you still beat your arch rival out of the mighty SEC 30-0. So again, chicken salad out of chicken giblets. That's and you could say some of the play calling with chicken giblets too, sure. But I think as the year progressed and they matured and found an offensive front that was healthy enough to play together, they got better. Look at the numbers in the final four or five games of the season. This team did get better. We got to get out of here until tomorrow. As always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.